It was down to effective organisation, he felt. His council was acknowledged as a stroke of salutary foresight, organising them into effective interactive work unit even back in the transients' dormitory. He passed the community hall and stood to one side to let a group of children march by, carrying braces of fat pollet birds they had caught in their traps. Their skin was scratched from thorns, and their legs were coated in mud, but they were smiling and laughing. Yes, Ryan Alvey felt very good indeed. He reached the jetty and walked its length. A couple of Ivets were in the river, Eyerley and Scott, hauling up their creels full of mouse crabs. The creels were adaptations of lobster pots, one of Quinn's ideas. Rye waved at the two lads, receiving a grinning thumbs up. The Ivets were undoubtedly his greatest success. A month after they had arrived, Quinn Dexter had asked to talk to him. "Anything we say to poor Manani just gets automatically ignored, but we know you'll give us a fair hearing, Mr. Mulvey." Which was true. It was his job to arbitrate, and, like it or not, the Ivets were part of Aberdale. He must appear strictly impartial. "We want to organize ourselves," Quinn had said earnestly. "Right now, you have all 18 of us working for you each day, but you have to feed us and let us live in the hall. It's not the best arrangement, because we just sweat our asses off for you and don't get anything out of it for ourselves, so we don't give 100%. That's only human nature. None of us asked to come to Aberdale, but we're here now, and we want to make the most of it. We thought that if we had a rota so that 13 of us are available as a general work team each day, then the remaining 5 could use the time to build something for ourselves, something to give us a bit of pride. We want to have our own cabin, and we could trap and grow our own food. That way you don't have to support us, and you get a far more enthusiastic work team to help put up your cabins and fell the trees." "I don't know," Rye had said, although he could see the logic behind the idea. It was just Quinn he was unsettled over. He had encountered waster kids back in the arcology often enough, and Quinn's sinewy frame and assertive mannerisms brought the memories back. But he didn't want to appear prejudicial, and the lad was making an honest appeal which might well be beneficial to the whole community. "We could try it for 3 weeks," Quinn suggested. "What have you got to lose? It's only poor Manani who could say no to you." "Mr. Manani is here to help us," Rye answered stiffly. "If this arrangement is what the town council wants, then he must see that it is implemented." Poor Manani had indeed objected, which Rye thought was a challenge to his authority and that of the council. It was a session to which poor Manani was not invited. The council decided that they would give the Ivets a trial period to see if they could become self-sufficient. Now the Ivets had built themselves a long and very well-constructed, Rye grudgingly conceded, A-frame building on the eastern side of the clearing where they all lived. They caught a huge number of mouse crabs in their creels, which they traded for other types of food among the other villagers. They had their own chicken run and vegetable allotments. Villagers had chipped in with 3 chicks and a few seeds from their own stocks. They joined the hunting parties, even being trusted to carry power weapons, although those did have to be handed back at the end of the day. And the daily work team were enthusiastic in the tasks they were given. There was also some kind of still, producing a rough drink which Rye didn't strictly approve of, but could hardly object to now. It all added up to a lot of credit in Rye Mulvey's favour for pushing the idea so hard, and it wouldn't be long before the time was right for Aberdale to think about formally electing a mayor. After that, there was the county itself to consider. Schuster Town was hardly flourishing. Several of its inhabitants had already asked if they could move to Aberdale. Who knew what a positive, forthright man could aspire to out here where this world's history was being carved? Rye Mulvey came to the end of the jetty, flushed with a strong sense of contentment, which was why he was only slightly put out by a close-up view of the Coogan. The boat was 20 meters long, a bizarre combination of raft and catamaran. Flotation came from a pair of big, hollowed-out trunks of some fibrous red wood, and a deck of badly planed planks had been laid out above them, supporting a palm-thatched cabin which ran virtually the whole length. The aft section was an engine house, with